Well, the title of my message this morning is rather unusual. I've called my message, Have You Got Rocks in Your Head? Some people think that Christians have got rocks in their head. We who believe that God is our creator, we who deny evolution, we who believe in six-day creation, they think that we've got rocks in your head. If you come to the Word of God in relation to creation, I believe this, for in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Bible says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There are people that think Christians have got rocks in their heads if they believe that God is our creator. There are people that think Christians have got rocks in their head if we believe that we can have the assurance of an afterlife. I base my faith on the Bible, and the Bible says that we can be absolutely sure of a home in heaven when we die. What does the world tell you? Oh, well, the world tells you that there are many paths to God, there are many different gods, and you can go whatever way you like in order to go into the afterlife. That's not true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Some people think that Christians have got rocks in their head if they don't accept gay marriage. The Bible is very clear on what marriage is. Jesus said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The Bible's very clear that marriage is only to be between a man and a woman. Well, actually, that's not why I've called my message, Have You Got Rocks in Your Head? Even though some people think that Christians have got rocks in their head. I'll tell you a little bit later on why I've called the message, Have You Got Rocks in Your Head? If you want to turn to Joshua chapter 3, and in Joshua chapter 3 and 4, we see a miracle that God did for the Israelites. And I spoke about that miracle last week. What happened was the Jordan River was a barrier between God's people crossing from the wilderness to the promised land. And it was springtime. And the Jordan River was about a mile wide instead of being about 100 foot wide normally. And so God's people needed a miracle in order to get into the promised land. And as we looked at last week, we saw that God did a wonderful miracle for them. If you go back to the history of the nation of Israel, you'll find that the Israelites, because of their disobedience after they came out from Egypt, after there was that great exodus, they disobeyed God. They entered the wilderness in unbelief. They didn't believe the promises of God, and therefore they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. You know, you and I can be wilderness wanderers as well. It's easy to start wandering in the wilderness of this world if we don't believe and trust God's word. Well, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and Moses died. And then a new leader came, and that was Joshua. And God was going to use Joshua to lead his people into the promised land. But as I mentioned, there was this great river, the River Jordan, in flood between them and the land of Canaan, the promised land. There were no ships, there were no boats, there were no rafts, there were no canoes to move a nation of perhaps a couple of million people across this river. The people of Israel had a great need, but they had a great God that would supply all their needs. And their great God is our great God, who will supply all our needs today as well. When Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." With the overwhelming odds they had against them in crossing this river, they had an overcoming God. And God was present with his people. And last week I talked about the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant, when people saw that, they acknowledged that God was present with them. God in his presence and God in his power amongst his people. Well, God gave God's people instructions for crossing the river. And he did that through Joshua. And if you look at Joshua 3 verse 5, the Bible says, "And Joshua said to the people, 'Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.' Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people.' So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people." Verse 5 there says that God's people had to sanctify themselves. If you look at that word, it means that they had to consecrate themselves, or another definition is that they had to purify themselves before God was going to do this great miracle. God wanted his people to be spiritually prepared. God wanted his people to be holy. And just as Israel was called to holiness, you and I are called to holiness. I believe that God won't use dirty vessels. And you can be a Christian, but you can fall into sin, and that will be a bar against God using you to do wonderful things. God wanted Israel to be holy, and God wants us to be holy as well. 1 Peter 1:16, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." When Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfil the lust of the flesh." In Galatians 5:24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." I believe that if we consecrate our lives, if we live lives of purity, that God desires to do wonderful things through us. God desires to show his miracles through our lives to an unbelieving world. Well, the priests had to take God at his word. And they actually had to move into this flooded river, trusting God, obeying God, and doing what God said. In a worldly sense, it wasn't reasonable to go into the Jordan River without some kind of craft. But the priests actually had to step out in faith and go into the river before God did the miracle. Joshua 3 verse 8, "You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, 'When you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan.'" Verse 12, "Now therefore take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. So it was, when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaretan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho." Here was an incredible miracle that God did. The waters were cut off, the waters were heaped, and God's people walked over on dry land. You know, Israel's God was a God of miracles. And I believe that God still wants to do miracles in the lives of his people today. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ is a miraculous God, and his miracles aren't just reserved for the nation of Israel. They had to walk by faith and trust that God was going to do amazing things. And we've got to walk by faith and trust that God is going to do amazing things as well. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Without faith it is impossible to please God. That means every day you and I, Monday to Sunday, have to live lives of faith. Not trusting in empty words, but trusting in the living word, the word of God. Well, verse 17, then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Now, I want you to notice that what God wanted was the Israelites to set up two memorials of stone. Men were to carry, men representing each of the 12 tribes of Israel, were to pick up 12 stones, and they were to carry those 12 stones from the river all the way to their first camping spot, which was the place of Gilgal. We read the scriptures also, and we see another 12 stones were actually set up in the river by Joshua. Have a look here at verse 1 of chapter 4. And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priests' feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. That was the city of Gilgal. Verse 4. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe, and Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Verse 18. When it came to pass, when the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Now we see these other stones in verse 9, if I go back to verse 9 there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. Two memorials, one in Gilgal and one in the Jordan River. The memorial stones were to remind the Israelites and the generations that followed of the faithfulness of God. Look at verse 20. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we have crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Every time God's people in the future past those two locations, the Jordan River and also Gilgal, if they saw the stones, they would be reminded of God's power, of God's presence, and of God's provision for the nation. The memorial stones were very important. The memorial stones made people remember the past. That's why it's so important, I believe, for us to have Anzac Day, that we might remember those who gave their lives for this nation, that we might remember the past, that we might remember the sacrifices, that we might never forget people who are willing to die for this country and other countries around the world. They had memorials, and memorials were very important, not only for the people to remember the past, but also the memorials, I believe, helped people throughout the world as Israel recounted what God had done for them. It actually helped people throughout all the world know that there was the one true God. Joshua 4, verse 24, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. You know, we sit in a beautiful building today, the tabernacle. And as you come into this building, and as new people come into the building, they're quite impressed with this building. And when you think about it, I believe that this building was built by people who stepped out in faith. Read the history of this church, and you'll find in the early 1860s there was a prayer meeting in what was known as the Glebe in Newcastle. A group of Christians got together to pray and got together and started talking about founding a church here in the heart of Newcastle. And as you read the history, they built a little church first of all. They cut timber and they built a little timber slab church. And then later on, this church here began, and it was finished in 1890 at the cost, I think, of about 4,400 odd pounds. When we think of this building and when we sit in this building, it's actually a memorial of the faithfulness of God. And it's important to remember what God has done. But it's also important to move on from the past. Israel was not just to concentrate on looking at the memorials and actually not stepping out in faith in their day and age. So when future generations came past and they saw the memorial, they remembered what God had done, but God wanted to work in their day and age as well. And it's the same here. God wants to work in the present. God has worked in the past. He wants to work in the present, and he wants to work in the future. And we can be tempted just to gaze at the past without realizing that God wants to do miraculous things through his people in this day and in the future. The Bible says that, indicating that God is able, he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God was present with his people. When they saw the Ark of the Covenant, it meant God was with them. The wonderful thing about being a Christian is that God is with us. He is with us 24 hours a day because he actually indwells each of us who have trusted Jesus Christ as Saviour. And the God of Israel, who is a miracle-working God, is the same God today, yesterday, and forever. And he wants to work miracles in our individual lives as we trust him by faith. Can I ask you, have you got rocks of remembrance that you can recount to your children and your grandchildren of the faithfulness of God? When those children of the generation that crossed into the promised land, those rocks were meant to be memorials so that the children would ask, what do they mean? Do you have memorials in your own mind of the faithfulness of God? I guess, do you have rocks in your head? I guess that's what I'm asking. Have you got rocks of remembrance of what God has done that you can share with your children and your grandchildren, that you can share with your nephews and your nieces? Have you got rocks of remembrance of the great things that God has done? Memorials of the faithfulness of God in your life. You know, I've got numbers of rocks in my head, rocks of remembrance. I can remember as a child that my mum and dad believed that God existed and that he was my creator. And I was taught that. That's a great rock of remembrance. I remember kneeling down in the front room of our home around our parents' bed, and we four kids and our parents, we prayed of an evening. That is a rock of remembrance in my head. I've got a rock of remembrance one day when I turned up for a working bee, and under the providence of God, no one else turned up early except one girl. She's sitting down the front there, and she was sitting on a swing, and so I got to talk to her for a while before anyone else came. That's a rock of remembrance of the providence of God, because I ended up marrying that girl, and we've journeyed through our Christian life together for over 30 years. Do you have a rock of remembrance of the providence of God in your life? You know, I've got a rock of remembrance of hearing a preacher preach in a Baptist church in Ryde in Sydney. And he preached from Matthew chapter 14, and now some 26 years later, I can still remember that sermon. And if I was to sit down with you, I could tell you the sermon that he spoke some 26 years ago. That was a rock of remembrance in my mind, because under the providence of God, I was challenged by the word. I was challenged by the preaching. It was a rock of remembrance. His text, one of the major texts, was Matthew 14, verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And in that sermon, he related the fact that Jesus sent his disciples out into the Sea of Galilee. And out in the Sea of Galilee, they experienced that great storm. But that was under the providential hand of God. And Jesus came walking to them in their storm and met them where they were. It was an empowering sermon delivered 26 years ago. I've got a rock of remembrance of the faithfulness of God's servants in my own life. And I guess if I was to ask people in the congregation here, have you got rocks in your head? I guess each one here that's a born-again believer would say, yes, I've got a rock of remembrance of that Sunday school or teacher or that youth group leader or that sermon that I heard. The people of Israel had to put these two memorials. Joshua sets up one, and then the 12 men set up another memorial in the place called Gilgal, the first place where they camp overnight. What a wonderful thing God did in that river. An overwhelming river, but they had an overcoming God. Be of good courage, God spoke unto Joshua. When over the river God pointed the way, Jordan uncrossable, things seemed impossible. Waters divide as they march and obey. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and he can do what no other power can do. Israel's God was a God of miracles, and our God is the same yesterday and today and forever. And you and I need to be living memorials to people. Where are people going to see the memorials of a living God today? The best place that they can see memorials of a living God is in you and I. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavour, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." The people back in those days didn't have any diaries they could write about the miracles of God. They couldn't get on Facebook and say, "Oh, look, this is what God has done for me today." What did God do? He got them to take a common rock or common rocks and pile them up so people could remember the wonderful things that God has done. You know, the Bible indicates that we are living stones and we are built up to a spiritual house. And God wants to use us as living stones of a memorial of the faithfulness and the power and the presence of God in our lives. He wants to use us so that we might be memorials of a God that loves us and that a God who exists today doing miracles amongst his people. Let me pray. Father, I just ask that you would help us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour to be those living stones built up in a spiritual house. Lord, when people see our lives, may they see the miraculous. May they see God within us. May they see God shining through us to a lost and lonely and dark world. And Father, we pray for those that we meet during the week that may not know Jesus as Saviour. Help us, Lord, to be a testimony to them and help us to direct them to the Word of God, where they can find out that there indeed is a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is Jesus Christ, God's only Son. And Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning that has not received the wonderful gift of eternal life. I ask, Lord, that they would come to the feet of Jesus and be thankful that he died on the cross for them. In Jesus' name, amen.